Our scripture this evening you will find in Joshua, in the Old Testament, chapter 1. I'll read the first 9 verses. Then we'll turn to the New Testament in Matthew, the last chapter, 28, verse 16 and following. So Joshua chapter 1, first 9 verses. Let's hear the word of our God. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. We turn to Matthew, chapter 28, the last 5 verses, beginning at verse 16. The last words of the Lord to the disciples and therefore to us, the church. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Our consideration tonight is verse 20, and just the center part, actually, those few words where Jesus says, And lo, I am with you alway. So our theme tonight is going to be at no time absent. And we want to see that as a precious truth, a personal encouragement, and a practical observation. Let's make confession with the Church of All Ages and say in our hearts, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's sing from Psalter 126, the first three stanzas. 126, taken from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present aid. Announcement, and that there is no senior catechism or confession of faith this week, Tuesday. And also after this service this afternoon, the senior youth group is meeting at Elder Sinke's house, and we encourage all of our youth, the senior youth, to attend. Let's come before the Lord and ask for His blessing upon our gathering here tonight. Gracious and merciful God, and Father. Again, we have the privilege of coming before Thee in prayer, uniting as one voice, coming into Thy very courts of worship and praise. We confess, Lord, as we have heard this morning, we have barred the way of access and closed the door of any kind of relationship and communion with Thee. But the wonder of wonders is that Thou hast come. Thou hast given the greatest of all gifts in Thy Son, who has given Himself through His flesh an offering for sin. That the way which was barred by our own sin, by our own selves, is now an open way of access through Thy Son. And so, Lord, we come, though it may be even with trembling, we come with boldness. We have no other ground upon which to stand. All other ground is sinking sand. But we come in the name of Thy beloved Son, knowing that even our poor petitions, those things perhaps which we ask that are not according to Thy will, but we pray that Thou would indeed take our petitions and set them before Thy Father with purity and blessed spirit, wilt Thou also with groans unutterable even pray for those things for which we do not know for which we should pray. And Lord, we confess it is a glorious salvation which Thou hast accomplished. Thou art the triune God who does all that needs to be done from beginning to end. And yet, Lord, Thou dost call us to walk in Thy way. Thou didst call Thy servant Joshua, of whom we have read, to walk in the way of Thy commandments, to walk in the way of Thy word which was set before him. And we pray that as Thy word is set before us, we would not simply be hearers of Thy word, but those who are doers also, lest we be the foolish man who has built his house upon the sand. But give us ever to see that the one foundation of Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the only foundation that shall be able to withstand the storms of time, shall be able to usher us across the Jordan of death and into Thy presence. Clothed in His righteousness, we shall be made like into His image. And so use Thy word tonight to that end, we pray. And give that Thy people's hearts may be strengthened and comforted with this knowledge, with this understanding, with the truth that Thou art always with us. And may that be our comfort in time of darkness spiritually, in time of difficulty and challenges, in time of temptation. Lord, wilt Thou give that Thy nearness and presence may strengthen us and encourage us. And may also that Thy nearness, Thy presence in Thy church, be an encouragement also for those who still stand behind the veil. Lord, wilt Thou with Thy Spirit work mightily to uncover their hearts to themselves, to show them their great need of a Savior, one who is always living to make intercession. We pray, Lord, as we turn to Thy word tonight, that Thou would bless each one of us as we are gathered here. Bless this flock, we pray, and bless all of the activities that take place from day to day and week to week. We ask for Thy blessing upon the senior youth group this evening, that the time that they spend together may be binding to one another, may also be binding within the congregation as a whole body, we pray, that we may bear one another's burdens also when we see others in need. And Lord, remember too the purity retreat which will be held in the coming month. What a great need there is for us to remain pure, to be pure, to seek Thy grace, to walk the path of purity. We ask that Thou would bless our young people as they are confronted on every hand, and even us who are older, with so many temptations and so many impure thoughts and desires may come to the surface. We pray that Thou would wash and cleanse us and give us to walk as a separate, distinct, and holy people. We confess, Lord, that we do fall short. We do sin. And even if there are those who cannot see these sins, Thou knowest, Lord. Wilt Thou wash and cleanse us afresh and anew each day? And give, Lord, that Thy forgiving grace may be such that when we taste it and experience it, our hearts may be filled with such gratitude. We would desire to live the more to Thy glory and to speak well of Thee and for what Thou hast done for poor sinners such as ourselves. So bless this flock, bless each member, each family, and go before us also into this week, whatever our calling and task may be, whether we are in the home, in the workforce, or going to school and various other things. Lord, wilt Thou spare and protect our lives? Wilt Thou grant that Thou would bless the labor of our hands as well, so that we might be able to give to the cause of Thy kingdom and provide for the necessities of life in this world? But help us, Lord, to never lose sight of the eternal things, and that we may live in this present world, even in the face of challenges and suffering and disease and illness and weakness, that we may live our lives in light of eternity to come. That Thou would give us to be renewed in the inner man, as the old man perishes, that we may have our eyes fixed upon Thee. Bless the elderly too. The Lord be with them in their climbing of years. Thou knowest what challenges and difficulties they may face. Wilt Thou uphold them and strengthen them in these years, but also give that they may be good years. As they gather with their children and grandchildren and speak, we trust, enabled by Thee, of how good Thou art and hast been to them, that they may leave behind a good testimony of Thy grace also for coming generations. And so bless us, we pray, together as a congregation, as one family. And help us to realize our calling as one body and to use the gifts which Thou hast given to us for the edification of the whole body. And so bless us. Bless also each of the students, in particular of the Free Reformed students in the seminary in Grand Rapids and Puritan Reformed. Oh Lord, as these men are being trained, we pray for grace for each of those who teach, and that this institution too would be used mightily of Thee. That men being sent forth to various countries from which they have come, we may see a mighty work of Thy Spirit and reformation and revival even in these latter days. And Lord, as we reflect upon all the events that take place around us, the fears, real and unreal, regarding Ebola, diseases, and so many other challenges that face us as countries, we ask, Lord, that Thou would turn all of these things into opportunities to speak to others around us, that where there is perfect love, fear has no place. So, Lord, we pray that we would not be taken in by all the fear mongering in this world, but rather that we may have a confidence and trust in Thee, that the world begins to ask the church, the believer, regarding the hope that lies within them. And give that we may speak also by grace of that hope that we have laid away for us in the heavens. Bless us now, we pray, as we gather around thy word and we seek to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Give, Lord, in speaking and in listening, all that we need. Bless us in singing, giving of tithes and offerings, and all that is done. We look to thee. Pardon graciously all that would be said or done amiss, but take what may be of thee and use it mightily for the growth and grace of thy people and the gathering in of lost souls as well. We ask this, Lord, in the name of thy blessed Son, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Dear congregation, I once read an illustration that seemed a bit childish to me until it happened in our own family. And then as I was preparing this sermon, it became ever more obvious that this is a good illustration, although it far, far pales in significance to the reality of what we're going to talk about tonight. Parents, perhaps you, maybe even yourselves, when you were younger, have a child who has a little blankie. It's what we call the blankie, a little piece of cloth that you tuck in next to you every night when you go to sleep, and you just find your comfort there with this little blankie. And you children, maybe you have one. You just can't go to sleep without it. And you need to find it before you go to sleep. Well, we had one of those children who had a blankie, and we had come home in our vehicle in the evening, and the child was asleep and hadn't taken the blankie along. And so I brought the child to the bedroom and looked around a little bit, couldn't find it, and thought, well, they'll be fine. Put them to bed. About 2 o'clock in the morning, there is the child at my bedside. Dad, where's my blankie? So you get out of bed and you go downstairs and you turn on the light and find the blankie, and they get the blankie and they crawl into bed and just fall fast asleep. This was their security, their comfort. But what I am to speak about tonight ought to be such a comfort for the believer that no matter what takes place in our lives, this reality and this truth ought to so comfort us that no matter what is taking place in our life, we ought to know and to rest in the confidence Jesus is with us. And that should transform our thinking and how we live and how we respond to this magnanimous grace of our God, not only in saving us if we are children of God, but also as He carries us through life until our final breath. So I want to look at this phrase in light of that truth and many other things that the Scripture sets before us of this truth as well. Lo, I am with you. Behold, pay attention. This is true. I am with you. It's the words of our Lord. And so we see our theme, at no time absent. Then, first of all, this is a precious truth. This truth that Jesus is present with us, with the believer, with the church of all ages, is such a truth that has encouraged the church in the face of all kinds of suffering, persecution, and challenges. It has helped countless believers through temptations and trials and tribulations. Perhaps there's no greater comfort than to know this truth, that God is with us, that Christ goes before us, that He stands beside us, that underneath are the everlasting arms, that whether it's through fire or water or in the storm or light or darkness, this remains true. I'm with you. And so what I want to do in our first point is to demonstrate from the Old and as well as the New Testament, that this truth is sure. As we go back already in the early part of the Old Testament, in Genesis 26, 28, for example, there we find the fathers, Isaac and Jacob. They were in times of trouble. Isaac, when he was in trouble with his herdsmen and they were fighting over the wells of water, and they finally built another well, the third he called Rehoboth. And he rose up from thence, and what do we read? God appeared unto him in the same night, and he said, I am the God of Abraham thy father, fear not, for I am with thee. You can imagine all this difficulty, this trial, this strife, this tension, and then finally a place where he's able to build something on in this world, a well that gave water to his herds and flocks. And God comes and he says, I am with you. Think of Jacob. He had just deceived his father, received the inheritance and the blessing, and he has to run away from home because of it. And as he's fleeing away from home to his mother's homeland, he lays down and he finds a pillow for rest, and he dreams a dream, and this ladder goes up to heaven. And God, to this man Jacob, appears and he says, I am the God of Abraham. And one of the things that he says to Jacob is, behold, I am with thee. What comfort. What encouragement. I think of Joseph. Children, perhaps you're aware of that story. It's a very familiar story to you and a very powerful one as well. That even though he was faced with many challenges and many times he could have been disappointed and discouraged, and yet, though he was in that far-off country, in prison with Potiphar's wife accusation, falsely, what do we read about Joseph? God was with him. This encouraged him. This gave him to be strong and to stand for his God. And of course, God was with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And so God was with his people even when they were all brought back into Egypt and they began to suffer under the hands of the Egyptians when they multiplied. God was with them. He heard them when they cried out to him, and he sent them the deliverer, Moses. And to Moses, God had said, we heard something of that tonight from Joshua 1. God had said to Moses over and over again, I am with you. You're to leave your herds and your flocks, Moses, and to go to Egypt and come before Pharaoh and lead my people out. Moses' one craving desire was this. God's presence would be with them. You remember that occasion when Moses, after having led the children of Israel out of Egypt, these people who had been the recipients of God's grace, had come to difficult times. Lack of water, lack of food, and they rebelled against Moses. And Moses cries out to God. And he asked this question, how will we know we are the recipients of thy grace? He said, wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? And then he adds this as well. So we shall be separated, I and thy people, from all the people upon the face of the earth. If thy presence go not with us, carry us not a pen. And Moses, therefore, addresses Joshua, his successor, with these same encouragements. He encourages Joshua to stand strong in the Lord. And God came to Joshua, as we read, and said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Don't be afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. Could you imagine any greater words to have than this, to wake up on Monday morning to be able to hear, I am with you. It's not just any man, but the living God who says, I am with you. David, he says to his son Solomon about constructing the temple in 1 Chronicles 28, be strong and of a good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord thy God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Children, in the face of persecution, we hear of ISIS today, and of course there's all kinds of fear about so many things in this world. How do you think Daniel and his friends felt facing a fiery furnace and facing the lion's den? if it weren't for this truth, God was with them. That was everything. So that the friends of Daniel could say to Nebuchadnezzar, the king, we will not bow down to your idol. You can cast us into the fiery furnace, and if God will save us or not, we don't know. But one thing we know, we will not bow down to your idols. Read of this glorious truth, even when the children of Israel, because of their sin, were carried off into captivity. And the Lord's still there through His prophets and His servants says to them, Isaiah 43, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they will not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One, thy Savior. In other words, God is saying to them, even in their banishment because of their sin, don't be afraid. I'm teaching you profitable lessons that you turn to me in your difficulties. Turn to me. I am with you. God was with the prophets. He knew the fears of the prophets who had to bring a very difficult message to the church of the Old Testament because of their sin. And yet He says, for example, to Jeremiah, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces. Why? For I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And what brings us now, we see that this is throughout the whole Old Testament, but it's no different than the New. Jesus here in His parting words to His disciples, the New Testament church, must have found these words to be of great encouragement. The disciples had been with Jesus these 3 years. They had seen Him in His ministry, they had seen Him in His death, and now they had seen Him as He had risen again. They no doubt had perhaps looked forward to Him being with them and establishing this kingdom on earth. But Jesus had told them, I need to go away from you. It is expedient. It's necessary. It's better. And when He speaks to them in John 14, when they were sorrowful about this truth that He was saying, I need to go away, what does He say? He says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. And if you've ever read that passage there in John 14, did you ever think of what Jesus is really saying? Jesus is saying to His disciples, who are His believers, you have believed in God, now believe also in me. Is He calling them to conversion? No, they're already saved. What is He saying? I believe what Jesus is saying in John 14, as He's saying in context, He's going away to prepare a place for them. He's saying, you have believed in God who you can't see. I'm going to go away from you, and you won't be able to see me any longer. But don't be afraid. Continue to believe in me, just as you do, even now. For I will certainly come again and take you to myself. But until then, I'm not going to leave you an orphan. I will come, and my Father will come, and together we will take up our abode in you. We are going to be with you. And now His last words to His disciples in light of this commission that He is speaking to them. He is saying at its end, now don't forget this. And behold, I am with you always. He leaves them with this glorious promise. Notice how carefully He speaks. He doesn't say, I was with you, so don't be afraid. I will be with you. No, He says, I am with you. It's certain. It's sure. There ought be no question about it. He uses the present tense. I am with you. If you've ever read these last words of Jesus, they are so full. These parting words, the grand words, the all words that Jesus uses. Listen to them. He begins with, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." This one who is going to say, "And lo, I am with you always," is the one who says, "Now, all power is entrusted to me. The Father has commissioned to me all things into my hands." Dear church, dear believer, what Jesus is saying to you, there is not one thing, not one hair of your head that can fall to the ground without all power realizing and recognizing and determining and aware of all that is taking place. All power and all authority is given unto me. And so what does he say to them? "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." These disciples who are thinking about themselves, a few in number, to reach the whole world, it was impossible. But Jesus is commissioning them and he tells them, "Go you therefore, because all power is mine. Go therefore and to all the nations. Let no nation be exempt. No people." Now, not all of us are going to be called to be missionaries to all the nations of the earth, but all of us are called to speak to all the people that are around us in our neighborhoods, in our families. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Not simply the Jews, not simply the Romans, but this was to be sounded forth into all the world. All power, all nations. And what were they to do? Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe what? All things. How inclusive these alls of Jesus were. And what does he conclude it all with? Just as the disciples are thinking, we're to go to all the nations, how are we going to accomplish this calling that he's laid upon us? Well, lo, behold, I am with you always. And the word there simply means, I will be with you each and every day. I will be with you day in and day out until I come again upon the clouds of glory. No matter what day you encounter, days of joy, days of sorrow, days of pain and days of rejoicing, days of cheer, days of fear and days of boldness, every day. Jesus is saying, all days, I will be with you until the end of the age. And that means there is no place on earth where this "I am with you always" does not reach. Ladies, mothers, when you're behind your kitchen sink, fathers, as you're out cleaning the barn, as you're out riding down the road, as you're in school behind your desk, this truth remains. This is certain. You step down into your basement, you get on your knees beside your bed. Jesus is saying, "Lo, I am with you always." And the children, we know this, we've been brought up with this truth to a certain degree, and we sort of made it a cold truth. The omnipresence, the big word of God always present. We know it to be true. We know that God is everywhere. We believe that to be true. The disciples knew that to some degree too, but here Jesus wants them to live it in. To experience it, to trust it, to rest upon it, to draw comfort from it. It's not just some cold truth that God is here, and He is. But it's Jesus who is saying to us, even tonight, through His Word, His messenger that comes to us, and He says, "Behold, pay attention, listen to me, I am with you." That ought to give us hope. Because He is the victor. He is the King. He is the one who suffered and who died. And He's the one who gives repentance and faith. He's the one who gives to us all things. And He's now seated on the throne of glory, far above all things and ruling over all things. And there's not one moment, whatever we may experience, sickness or in hell, life or in death, where this will not be true. Lo, I am with you. Always. If only we could believe, live out this truth more. Are you perhaps finding yourself in your spiritual life defeated, burdened with anxious care? Jesus is saying here, He is all that one needs. He delights to dwell among those who are brokenhearted and cast down. He comes to you tonight in all your brokenness and all your need, all your fears. I am with you. And if He is with us, we have nothing to fear. Certainly without this to accompany us in our lives, there would be no confidence, no hope, no strength for the day. But with this truth, we have the certainty of knowing Emmanuel, God is with us, not only with us, around us, but He has promised if we have come in repentance to faith to His Son, He lives in us. How much truer than His words could be, I am with you always. I who have begun this good work in you shall never stop until it arrives at its point of completion when I take you to myself in glory. This is a personal encouragement. Not only have we seen as we have gone through the Scriptures and as Jesus says these words before His disciples on His departure, but we need to see that these words are also very personal. There may be someone who says tonight, well, that's very well and true. I'm sure that Jesus indeed is present with His church and His people. But how do I know that this promise is for me? And there may be other believers who would say, I certainly believe this glorious promise and precious truth, as we've heard in our first point, but if I'm really honest, I don't experience that every day. Often I feel forsaken. I feel that God is not so near at hand. He doesn't seem to be with me. Did you notice the words that I used? I don't feel. It doesn't seem. Now, that may be true. And to us, it is a reality that He seems at a distance, but it doesn't change what Jesus said. Lo, I am with you. You remember when Jesus came to this crowd that was gathering and He asked what was going on? And there was a man who had brought to His disciples his son, possessed of the devil. And they could not cast him out. And Jesus tells His disciples and those who gathered, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Jesus, after His resurrection, you remember, appeared with two of His disciples who were traveling to the road of Emmaus. And as I'm saying these words, I'm not only just speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself. Because I'm like these two travelers who are speaking about Jesus. They had heard that He had risen from the dead. And so as this stranger begins to accompany them, and He goes to their home and He begins to describe from the Old Testament all these truths, He can only say of them, fools and slow of heart to believe all the Scriptures have written of me. And must we now say of ourselves, with the light of this truth of this passage, when Jesus said to His disciples, He didn't only say it to His disciples, because what was the commission? You remember the alls? Teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Well, what did you say immediately following? Teach them that I am with you always. So this is the message that's to come to the church of all ages till we see Him coming in glory again. That is the truth and the reality that Jesus is with us. Yes, with us as a church, but with us also individually and personally if we know Him and have come in repentance and faith before Him. Christ wanted His disciples to know with certainty He would be with them. And He wanted His disciples to teach each one of those they discipled to tell them, and Jesus will be with you, and you need to tell the next person whom you disciple the same thing. And so parents, if you have tasted that the Lord is good and gracious, you have sensed that He has been with you, He has helped you, and He has guided and led you, you mustn't be silent. You speak to your children, your grandchildren, and to those children also of yours in the church, the one body, the family, and to say to them, God is with us. He has blessed us. And He will be with you also. You follow on to know the Lord. The authors to the Hebrews wants to make this abundantly clear to those who were also persecuted for their faith. He says, 13 verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he saith, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And the Apostle Paul, he experienced these things to be true as well. You remember when he said, and when there was no man who stood by me and all seemed to forsake me, he said, well, then the Lord stood by me and upheld me. And we read in Acts 18, verse 10, God said to Paul, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. And so we see just as certainly as God was with His people, His servants in the Old Testament, He was with the church of the Old Testament. We've seen He's with His church in the New Testament. He's with the Apostle Paul and the apostles as well. That means He's with us today. And the words of this promise ring as true in our ears as it would have rung, we trust, in the ears of the disciples. And lo, I am with you until the end of the age. We don't need the evidence of the saints only. We can simply go throughout time in recent history in the lives of the children of God, and you will hear the same. Let me give you two examples. John Patton, a great 19th century missionary to the New Hebrides. His wife and infant son had, shortly after he arrived there, died in his time at the mission station, and soon after he was forced to leave. 4 years later, he could only take with him his Bible and a few other possessions. And it was during this time, he said, and I quote, trials and hairbreadth escapes only strengthened my faith and nerved me for more to follow. And they trod swiftly upon each other's heels. Without that abiding consciousness of the presence and power of my Lord and Savior, nothing in the world could have preserved me from losing my reason and perishing miserably. His words, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end, became to me so real that it would not have startled me to behold him as Stephen did, gazing down upon the scene. It is the sober truth that I've had my nearest and most intimate glimpses of the presence of my Lord in those dread moments when musket, club, and spear were being leveled at my life. And how sad it is true. It is often times of our suffering and in our pain and in our challenges and difficulties and we can't go on that God is especially delights to impress home these words and this truth upon our souls. But why is it that it takes those occasions for us to be confident and to live in the confidence that these words are true? If you go to Patton's gravestone, you will find inscribed there in Australia these words, "Lo, I am with you always." Another example is David Livingstone. He was laboring in Africa many years, bringing the gospel there at the risk of his life. And he was invited back to Edinburgh University to receive an honorary degree. And you can well imagine how even today, I suppose, as those who receive honorary degrees are almost disdained by those who've taken 4 or 8 years to get such degrees, when someone who has never gone to school is able to walk across the stage and receive a degree. But it was not so, and this man, David Livingstone, received his award, his degree. Instead, the students stood in silence and respect. And there he stood, his one arm hanging down, mangled at his side from having been torn by a lion some time before in the forest, his skin like leather beaten by the sun and the weather. And he spoke these words, "Shall I tell you what supported me through all these years of exile among a people whose language I could not understand, and whose attitude toward me was always uncertain and often hostile? It was this: Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." He said, "People talk of sacrifice that I have made in spending so much of my life in Africa. Can that be called a sacrifice which is simply paid back as a small part of thankfulness, a great debt owed to our God we can never repay? Is that a sacrifice which brings its own best reward in healthful activity and consciousness of doing good, to have a peace of mind and a bright hope of a glorious destiny hereafter? Away with the word sacrifice. In such a view and with such a thought, it was emphatically no sacrifice. Say rather, it was a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering, danger now and then, the foregoing of common conveniences and charities of this life may make us pause and consider the spirit to savor and the soul to sink. But let this only be for a moment. All these are nothing when compared with the glory which shall hereafter be revealed in us. I never made a sacrifice. Of this we ought not to talk when we remember the great sacrifice which he made, who left his Father's throne on high to give himself for us." We need not also think these were eminent saints. They're far beyond us. But we ought to be encouraged as we hear example after example in the Word and throughout history that the saints of God can say one after the other, "And this I know is true. He has been with me. Lo, I am with you always." Then if we have to deal with a terminal disease, with death, sorrow, a prodigal son, daughter, an angry boss, challenging relationship, disappointed employee, an empty bank account, in light of all these, when this truth prevails, "I am with you. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," we may walk with confidence, comfort, be strengthened in the inner man with this truth. Indeed, we will have to say, Christ, when he is saying with his disciples, he will be with them, he is saying it to them individually, so that we may know individually and as a church, as a whole, Christ is saying to us, "I will never leave you. I will guide you by my Spirit, and not one shall be taken from my hand." Our second point, indeed, is a personal encouragement But we realize as well, don't we, that we can hear this in our hearing. But unless the Spirit of Christ also come by the power of God and we receive these words by faith and live on and rest upon this promise, we will have no comfort. And so our need tonight is to, in light of this truth, surrender all. Submit to Him in light of whatever may come across our path and believe and cling to this word of His promise. And lo, I am with you. And even when the consciousness of His presence, when it seems as if God is not there, the Lord will inwardly preserve and strengthen and carry you through. Jeremiah 31, He has said, "Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child?" So even when God would speak against His child and discipline His child, He says this, "For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy on him, saith the Lord." Child of God, what was it that caused God's presence to be with you the very first time? That he came, lifted you out of the muck and mire of sin and set you free. Is it because you were so good, so faithful, and had repented so sincerely, had believed so genuinely? Or was it all of His grace that He came, found you where you were, as a lost sheep, and brought you home? And do you suppose then that that same grace that has found you and brought you back is not the same grace that's going to keep you? And the same grace that says to us tonight, "And lo, I am with you." So that even if our parents forsake us, even if this world disowns us, even if any would leave us, if we have Christ, we have joy, we have life, we have all that one could need. So what a personal encouragement we find in these words for us tonight. But there are practical things too that we see in these words for our benefit. For example, if you think about the ascension of our Lord into heaven, the Heidelberg Catechism goes through a list of advantages for the believer that this means. It says there that Christ, having now ascended, is our advocate in the presence of the Father. He makes intercession for us. He pleads our case before the Father. He's also requested the Spirit to be sent to the earth and to dwell in the hearts of His people. The second thing they mention is that since Christ is gone into heaven, He has taken His glorified flesh with Him, and it means of a certainty He's coming again to take us in glorified flesh to enter into glory. And the third thing they say about His ascension and sitting into glory is that He sends His Spirit as an earnest to dwell within us so that we would seek the things above, not the things on the earth. But when we think more about the ascension of our Lord and yet His promise to be ever present with us, what does this mean practically for you and me today, this week? It means very practically there is not going to be a moment, not one second, not one nanosecond, in which our Lord is not present with us. How many seconds, minutes, hours of a day pass by when we have perhaps hardly had a thought of Him, and yet He will never forget us? And no matter what God is calling you to do, no matter what His Spirit is impressing upon you, even in these days, maybe He's laying upon your heart, you need to go speak to someone in your family. You need to make a relationship that's broken and has a veil between it and mend it by God's grace. You need to do that. The Spirit of God is impressing it upon you, or some other thing that He's calling you to do. You say, well, how can I? Well, Jesus is saying to us tonight, I am with you. This is His promise. When your way becomes difficult and you need His presence, He says, I'm there. When you go to speak to that person, you don't know what words you're going to say. He says, I am there. I will give you the words to speak. You need to confess your sin to someone who you have offended and you think they're going to treat you ill because of it. He says, I am there. What good news this is for the believer that no matter what God is calling you to do, no matter how difficult your way may become, no matter what He permits to come upon your path, there is one unmistakable and certain truth that does not change. I am with you always. The problem is the same as what Pilgrim and Christian experience. You remember when they came to the end of their life and there's the River Jordan they had to cross. And there were the shining ones who stood on this side. And they were asked the question, is the river deep the same depth in all the places? And their response was, no, you shall find it deeper or shallower as you believe in the King of the place. Can we not make the application? The challenges and difficulties and rivers that we're going to have to cross this week and next month and the year that God will give us to come will be as deeper or shallower as you believe in the King of the promise who said, and lo, I am with you always. These disciples did not know, in light of this commission to bring the Word of God to the ends of the earth, how they would ever be able to accomplish it. They hadn't had much training. They hadn't gone to the school of Gamaliel. They weren't talented speakers. They didn't have such beautiful sermons. But this they knew. He was with them. The one who had saved them. The one who had corrected them and comforted them and been with them, and they had become His followers. And He had promised them, and they believed His word that wherever they would go, wherever He would call them to go, He would be with them. Today in our world, the people may be asking the question, where is God? Where's God in light of ISIS? Where's God in light of Ebola and all the difficulties and challenges we find? Well, it's the church and the believer alone who can say, God is with us. I know there may be times, and I experienced them as well, when the waves and the billows of our circumstances seem to just crash over us. And like Peter, we've been bidden to come out into the water because He's there. And we've begun to walk and then we see the waves. And we begin to sink. He needs to be corrected. And Jesus reaches out His hand and pulls him up. And this is what Jesus is always doing, and He's doing it again tonight through His Word. Because what did this do with the disciples in the age in which Jesus lived? They were no longer afraid meeting behind closed doors. They rather went to Jerusalem, and they prayed for the promise of the Father to be poured out upon them. And when it came, they stood and they spoke boldly in the name of this Jesus. Because they knew they were not doing their work, they were doing His. And the same calling is true for the church and the believer today. You and I are called to mortify sin, to crucify our old natures, to fight against those things that so easily come upon us and the sin that does so easily beset us. And in like manner, we can plead and rest upon this truth that Jesus, who is seated in glory and in heavenly places, who has all power, is with us. And isn't this the comfort that will sustain us on the waves that we will face in life? The Holy Spirit comes and He whispers, as it were, in the ear of our hearts, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end." This ought to strengthen the weak hands that hang down and the feeble knees that are weak. And finally, this truth ought to be a great motive to holiness. Friends, imagine every time you turn on your computer and you click on this site or that site, or you open that novel that you've checked out of the library, Jesus is there. He is with us. Is that a comfort to you in all that you do? Or do you wish that that weren't true? There's a poem I'm sure that most of you have heard, and I wish to close with tonight, that bears witness to this truth, "Footprints in the Sand." One night I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints, other times there were one. This bothered me because I noticed that during the lowest period of my life, when I suffered from anguish and sorrow and defeat, I could only see but one set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, "You promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, you would walk with me always. But I noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, there have only been one set of footprints in the sand. Why? When I needed you most, you've not been there for me." He whispered, "My precious child, I love you and will never leave you, never, ever, during your trials and your testing. When you only saw one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." Amen. We'll sing from 345, both stanzas, taken from Psalm 121, "To the hills I lift my eyes, whence shall help for me arise?" 345, both stanzas. pray. Our gracious God, in light of these glorious truths and promises, help us to live worthy of the calling wherewith Thou hast called us. We confess that we so often have our eyes fixed upon the waves of our circumstances, the difficulties and challenges that we face. We imagine we need to face them alone and try to overcome. But help us in our lives, whatever we may face, even in the life of sanctification and living to Thy glory, that we may cling to this word of Thy promise, that Thou art with us. Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Thou hast also a word for those who are still living apart from Thee. While it is day, Thou art calling to them to turn to Thee, lest they be without Thee forever. So, Lord, we pray, Thou would be with us in this week, that on the basis of this word and promise, we may live with great confidence, strength, and courage to speak well of Thee, of those with whom we would meet. And when we be tested and tried, as we certainly shall, that by Thy grace we may overcome through this work. Thou art with us. Hear us, we pray, and be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.